Hey, it's time for Movie Mastery. You know it's time. I know it's time. Jeff, do you know it's time?
I know it's some kind of time.
It's Movie Mastery time.
Oh, I thought it might be finally the time that we go to the combination KFC and Taco Bell.
It's never that time.
It's not that time right now?
It is not.
But John, I want, you know, like a piece of chicken and a taco together at last.
I want a piece of chicken in my taco.
A pizza chicken?
I want a pizza chicken. I want to go to the Pizza Hut Taco Bell.
We have to go to the Pizza Hut KFC Taco Bell, of which there is one in all of San Diego.
Yeah, it's where you go. You make a pilgrimage there.
You have to. It's out on the island.
Yeah, it's out on the Big Island.
It's out on Coronado.
It's out on Hawaii, the big island of San Diego.
You take that big-ass bridge to get out there. And then it's nothing but, like, military families, expensive restaurants, and the one KFC Taco Bell Pizza Hut.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's expensive restaurants and then the ultimate combo restaurant.
Yeah, so they only have to have one fast food joint on the island.
Exactly.
Although there is also a Wendy's.
Well, yeah, you got to have a burger place as well.
They should just mix it in, except that I don't think PepsiCo owns a burger place.
That's a shame. They should really get themselves a burger place.
Yeah, how hard is it? I mean, I can't imagine that Carl's Jr. is going for that much these days. Just make an offer.
Yeah, but then you also got to buy that green burrito.
That's finally the chance to let that shit die.
And now it'll be Carl's Jr. Taco Bell.
Let green burrito die. Kill it if you have to.
Let green burrito fight.
Anyway, John, yeah, it's time.
Yeah, okay. Boys and girls, gather around. It's time for Movie Mastery. We are doing a movie that we just found out we were going to do today, and now we're recording. It's DOA, Dead or Alive. Is the full title.
That's the full title. Dead or Alive, : Dead or Alive.
Indeed. No, it's Dead on Arrival, Dead or Alive.
So, well, this is a random roll, and it is based, yes, indeed, based on the video game of the same name, where the game that had the realistic boob physics.
You ever play DOA?
I played the first one a little bit, and realistic is kind of a stretch. It's more like, what if boob physics were just hooked up to an equalizer than anything? Because it was more like the boobs were leisurely waving at you than they were actually, you know, jiggling in real time.
Yeah, you'd jump with someone and they'd be like, hello, and they'd just wave at you.
It was like low grav, just sort of whoosh, whoosh. Watching boobs in DOA, like the early games anyway, it was more like watching the tides come in and out than
you can't explain that.
So I played the very first DOA a little bit because I was into I was in the arcade games, hanging around doing a lot of fighting games at the time.
Yeah.
Back when there were still arcades. And I did play Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball once because it was like, I had a demo that came with a CD and a copy of Game Informer or something.
I swear I must have had that too because I can sort of remember playing it, yet I can't remember anything.
It was astonishingly boring is the thing. Nothing interesting happened in DOA Extreme Beach Volleyball.
You just got to change swimsuits for people.
Yeah, and then you had to like earn money to buy the more fancy swimsuits.
Yeah.
And it was just, there was like photo mode, and it was so pervy, and yet the graphics weren't good enough to justify it.
Yeah. They're like, hey man, you want to perv out on these ladies?
And I was like, nah man, those look like blow-up dolls. I'm good.
That's no bueno.
Also, I got good volleyball games if I want to play a good volleyball game.
There were good volleyball games?
I don't know, probably. I never wanted to play one. I just knew they existed if I did.
If I wanted to play a good volleyball.
Yeah, I thought I was pretty clear.
I'd play FIFA volleyball.
Probably a Mario volleyball game, right? There's got to be. You can play as, like, Princess Daisy or...
I'm sure it's probably in one of those summer games compilation things.
Ooh, the ones where you can get, like, Sonic in there, too?
Oh, yeah. Sonic summer games.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, yeah, we watched DOA, Dead on Arrival, Dead or Alive.
Now I got it in your head.
Day one, assholes. Very video gamey, and I guess you want to tell the people that we're going to start with just talking about the movie in general.
Oh, yeah. I mean, movie in general is, have you ever seen the old Mortal Kombat movie? Then you've seen a better version of this.
Yep, that's pretty much correct. Have you seen the second Mortal Kombat movie? Then you've seen the worse version of this.
Did you see the third Mortal Kombat movie?
No one saw that.
No one has seen that, and no one has seen this either.
Yeah, this kind of came and went with a whimper.
Oh, God. And, you know, it's got such star power.
Oh, my gosh. All the stars went out in the sky in the night that this came out, for they were all in Dead or Alive.
Yeah, you had a Jamie Presley and an Eric Roberts.
Devin Aoki. Just Kevin Nash.
Oh yeah, Kevin Nash up in there doing his goddamnedest.
And then a bunch of people who they told us were famous because they were in various movies, including like National Lampoon's Pledge Week.
Oh, very good. That's great. We've got some Australian pop star.
I think so. I forget what her actual name is. I also wouldn't be able to tell you which one she was.
I assume Christy, because that was the only one that sounded remotely Australian.
I guess it could have been either her or Helena, but hard to say. Anyway, if you played these video games, get ready for us to not know anything about your beloved video game franchise.
Because God knows I don't know anyone, and they were like, we have to set up the backstory of this character because you know it. And I'm like, I don't know who this is, and this is terrible.
So if you want to watch a bunch of fights that are so cut together that you can't tell who's doing what, and then a whole bunch of fights you don't actually get to see. They just happen in the background while other shit's happening.
And a whole bunch of ladies getting dressed behind things.
Oh my gosh, this movie is like 40% by weight, women getting dressed behind stuff.
God, it's just a lot of, ooh, I'm a lady and I'm not wearing much.
You know I'm naked on the other side of this thing I'm standing behind.
Ugh. All right, you know what, fuck it. Let's get some music going, and then after that, we'll be back with our actual full spoiler review of DOA, Dead or Alive. So, DOA, Dead or Alive.
Distant Ocelot Advancement.
Yes, well, I mean, that's why they have to advance. They're distant.
Yeah, they have to come to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this opens with...
Princess Kasumi,
who...
Kasumi.
So, Kasumi gets her full name, including princess, said about 11 times in the next 3 minutes because of this dude, Hayabusa, who's, like, crazy for her junk. Or just actually for not, he's not like into her. He's just like,
I mean, he is
super dedicated to her royal name or whatever.
Super dedicated to her royal job.
So she's played by Devon Aoki, who you'd remember is like the ninja girl that was in Sin City.
You'd remember as the ninja girl in literally everything.
Yeah. She's also in Sin City too.
Like the Wolverine.
No, she's not in the Wolverine, I think she might be in Sucker Punch.
I don't know.
But she's always the same thing. She plays a emotionless ninja.
Yeah, or in this, a shinobi.
A shinobi.
Yeah, because it's S-H-I, it's S-H-E.
Yeah, she's a mighty shinobi, a class of ninjas that only existed in Herstory.
Exactly. She needs to go find her brother, who was also left and became a hinobi.
Well, except that they call him a shinobi. I don't know if that's just a misspelling or if they wanted to distance the concept of the shinobi from, you know, other shinobi, so they went with shinobis.
I think they were just like, well, ninjas gotta have a thing that's like Ronin is to samurai, so we'll just say shinobi's that.
Yeah, and we'll just add an E to that for fun and remove the first I.
There we go. It's shinobi. And there you are.
So the basic thing with her is that she has found out that her brother is like dead or missing or something. She's being told this by Hayabusa.
And they're like, hey, you gotta lead our clan. And she's like, fuck you.
I'm gonna go find my brother, Hayate.
Yeah, if you didn't find a body, then he's not dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not how that works.
And so she's like, well, I'm in charge of the clan. So as the person in charge of the clan, I declare that I am gonna go look for him. And Hayabusa's like, you can't. If you go outside, the guards will kill you for going outside.
That's a real weird thing to have for the leader of your clan.
Mm-hmm. But she's like, I don't fucking care. So she goes outside, and there's a whole bunch of guards out there, and they seem to all have flags.
And none of them attack her.
No. So she starts walking through the big group of guards who just kind of step out of her way. But wouldn't you know it, a purple-haired ninja lady shows up, and they point swords at each other. So this is Ayami? Is it Ayami? Whatever. She is a...
Ayani?
She is a lavender-haired ninja lady who looks a lot less Asian than Devon Aoki.
Yep.
They're from the same...
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Just making that clear. They both are, but they do not look... Maybe they're not related. I don't know. Maybe because it looks like she's her...
She was into her brother.
Yeah. This is Devon Aoki's character, Kasumi's brother, Hayate's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she's also a deadly sword ninja.
Yeah. She's basically the only one who gets to use a weapon in this movie.
Well, because she's not a member of the tournament.
Exactly.
She's just out there on Tournament Island.
She's
fucking
just out there.
Fucking shit up. So she's the one who's the maddest about the notion of Kasumi leaving
Which is
her clan.
Weird. Because you'd think she's like, I'm going to go see if I can find, you know, the person you love and make sure they're alive or dead.
And she's like, you
cannot, dead or alive.
You cannot go outside. I will kill you. What's wrong, John? That wasn't a reference to anything.
Yep. Indeed. She actually said the line exactly like that.
Yeah. And, you know, Kasumi's like, no, I'm leaving. I'm gonna go outside. And so she, like, does a whole bunch of sword spins.
Yeah,
like,
and they have a nice fist-to-sword fight.
Yeah. And then Kasumi steals a sword from one of the soldiers and does her own bunch of cool sword spins and then throws it and then runs along the backs of all the soldiers and uses the sword to catapult out of this ninja castle. But
like,
once
she's in what looks like the fucking Forbidden City, that is, I guess the clan that she is in has an entire full-on fucking castle.
Way up on a huge cliff. And then this is when we find out that this is all happening in modern times. I mean, we knew that anyway because Ayame has, like, lavender fucking hair right down to the root. She is pending some bank on keeping that done that way.
Oh, well, you know, this might have just been, instead of happening in the real world, or this time, it happened in anime world.
It could have happened in cartoony land. But we find out it's the modern day, though, because as Kasumi falls off the cliff that her castle is built on the edge of, apparently, she strips out of her cool, like, robe stuff, and she's wearing a cool skydiver outfit with a built-in, retractable hang glider.
And then a fucking double-sided throwing knife flies at her.
Yeah, she catches it, and wouldn't you know it, it's got a little TV display in the middle that says, you're invited, Kasumi, to DOA.
DOA.
And she's like, good, good.
Yes, excellent. I don't know why I am angry about this, but I'm going to keep comparing this movie to Mortal Kombat.
Please
because
do.
Because obviously it's going to really beg that comparison.
Yeah, kind of.
But the issue that I have with it is what they spend time on trying to establish seems very wasted in this movie. Because, like, if I didn't know what Mortal Kombat was at all, never played any of the games, didn't really know it, I knew it existed, that was it. Just like I do with this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the Mortal Kombat movie, at least it explained what was going on and why this existed and, like, why people were showing up and what was going on and how this was established.
They do very briefly mention what it is. Like, when everybody gets onto an airplane a little later, there's, like, a woman who pops up and she's like, hi, I'm the woman who's explaining this. This is a fighting tournament where every person is the best at their specific type of fighting. And whoever wins gets $10 million.
I'm like, okay, but who set this up? Where is this taking place that you're allowed to do a tournament where you can just murder people?
I mean, technically, we get that answer, too. It was set up by some guy named Fame.
Like, well, and the sad thing about that is he's dead, which means he did not live forever.
Yeah.
Fame.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Fame. So some dude named Fame set the tournament up, and I assume he was just independently wealthy. And also because they show us on a map where DOA Island is, we know that it's pretty much extrajudicial waters and they can do whatever they want. I assume it's probably part of Micronesia?
Maybe?
But I'm guessing it's privately owned. But anyway, after we finish up with Kazumi's dumb storyline and she gets the double-bladed shuriken thing and is like, yes, I will join DOA. Because one thing about this universe is everyone knows what DOA is.
Oh, yeah. No one, like, of all of our main characters who get this dumb double-bladed thing, no one looks at it and goes, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Which is also why I was like, who set this up? Because everyone seems to know what it is.
Yeah.
And you would think that these people who are the best fighters in whatever they do, like, you could assume, okay, maybe they know what DOA is, but how long has this been going on? Because you'd think they'd be like, hey, why haven't I been at this thing in previous years?
Well, my guess is that Fame was the boss of the first DOA, so I'm guessing this is at least DOA 2, so at least 2 years.
At least two.
That's my minimum. I'm going to say at least two. I'm going to guess. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that when you get to the end of the first DOA, you got to fight a guy named Fame.
Well, the thing is, the movie at one point says that Helena, like, her dad was Fame, and now she's 21 and she can compete. And I feel like they said how long this has been around, that, like, now she's 21 and can compete.
Yeah, but that would have required either one of us to be able to pay full and undivided attention to this film.
Oh, yeah, that would have required me to put my phone down for even a moment, and that's not going to happen.
And I was pretty much locked onto the film, but it doesn't matter. This thing, this is like when you try and talk to the Flash and he's, like, vibrating his face real fast. Barry Allen, by the way.
Barry Allen, who is the Flash?
Barry Allen is the Flash.
Yeah, when you're talking to Barry Allen, who is the Flash?
Yeah, and he's vibrating his face real fast. You're like, I can't quite figure out who this is. I mean, I know he's Barry Allen, and I know he's the Flash, but other than that, I can't put
but other than that,
I can't put this together.
He, like, vibrates his face really fast, and he's like, then he goes, sorry about that, and he takes off his mask, and he's like, I am Barry Allen, by the way.
Barry Allen, the Flash.
That's me.
So, anyway, we cut to the next person to get their fun introduction before they they go to DOA Island. This is Jamie Presley of, you know, My Name is Earl and Poison Ivy and a few other things. She didn't play Poison Ivy in a Batman thing.
I mean, know.
She's from the softcore porn thriller Poison Ivy.
Oh, good.
So she is, what was her name? Kate?
She's Tina Armstrong.
Tina, thank you. The wrestler, because Kasumi is like the ninja that you can play as.
God,
and
the graphics for this, after everyone gets their little sword thing, it like does a 3-panel repeat of shots we've seen of them, and then it's like, Kasumi, ninja shinobi assassin.
Yeah, it was like shinobi ninja princess.
And then we get Tina, who has to fight some pirates who are trying to steal her yacht.
One of them is played by the guy who played Liu Kang.
Yeah, the pirates were coming up and like, wait a minute, that's Liu Kang. No, go back, you're in the wrong movie.
Get out of here, Liu Kang, it's not too late.
No, you were in one of the good ones of these.
Yeah, so...
Well, I mean, one as of. Good as it gets.
Yeah. He was in As Good As It Gets?
Oh, yeah. It was Jack Nicholson and Liu Kang.
Liu Kang gets naked in a hot tub with Jack Nicholson.
And then thick, ropey streams.
So, anyway, Jamie Presley is hanging out on her giant yacht. She's doing, like, pull-ups and stuff. And then she gets a phone call from her dad. And coming in over the speakerphone is very clearly Kevin Nash.
And Kevin Nash is like, hey, honey, you go to the tournament, you can come do wrestles. You can wrestle with me.
And she's like, I don't want to do wrestles, Dad. I'm a real fighter. I'm not a wrestles fighter. Wrestling is fake.
I don't want wrestles fighting. I'm dropping kayfabe. I want a reels fight.
Yeah. And then some pirates show up and they threaten her and she threatens them back and then she comically beats them all up.
Yeah.
And then after that, she's like, you know, oh, then the shuriken shows up and hits her boat. And she's like, yeah, I'm in the fight after all.
It looks like I'm going to the ball after all.
I mean, to be clear, Tina is the wrestler fighter. She doesn't wrestle, really. She throws high kicks and stuff and does spinny punch moves that make her boobs shake around because wrestling would be
DOA.
Wrestling would be tricky. And teaching people, they have one fight coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only fight where that even remotely occurs is when she's fighting Kevin Nash.
Yeah. So, okay. So she
gets... Oh my God, spoiler alert for later. I ruined the surprise.
Honestly, it's not a spoiler unless you point out that she brutally decapitates her dad.
Which, if she did, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But
she
decapitates
him.
For a game called Dead or Alive, there's not really a whole lot of dead people in this.
No.
Like, at least Mortal Kombat was like, oh yeah, motherfuckers die. That's what happens.
This is pretty PG overall. I mean, there's one topless fight that's kind of fun to watch, but other than that, this movie's very bloodless for a movie that's got a lot of swords in it.
Yeah, and even when people like hit someone with a sword and they go flying, like, oh, you didn't even cut their shirt, like nothing has happened.
Yeah, it's
you
one
put
of
the sword in front of them, and then that made them go fly away from you.
You know what kind of movie this is we're describing now, because that happens all the time in movies where it's like the bloodless katana fight.
Yeah, where it's like, I've got a sword and I hit you with it and I drag it across your belly and then you fall down and there's no blood.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the story of Tina, who is definitely going to go into the fight as a wrestleman. What's so weird that her dad is there, too, because you'd think they're both the wrestlemans, and so they can't both be the best in their field at wrestlemaning, but maybe they have different kinds of wrestles.
I have to assume that it's because Tina was like, I'm not a wrestlesman anymore.
I'm a real fighter.
And then they were like, well, I guess you're the best at fake fighting, and you're the best at real fake fighting.
Okay, we have to cut to Christy. She is in Hong Kong. She's another forgettable blonde lady.
She is our Australian pop star, I believe.
Probably. And her fighting style is super spy, I think.
She's an assassin.
Yeah, because they say that Tina's fighting style is greatest American wrestler or something like
that. It's just professional wrestler.
Yeah. But Christy is hanging out in the Hotel Peking, where she has just stolen some diamonds or something, taking a shower, and when she opens up the shower door, oh no, there's police out there. They want to arrest her.
Oh yeah, she's got to be interviewed by the police while she's just wearing a towel.
Mm-hmm, two towels. Because there's one point where she removes the towel seductively and still has a towel on.
It's towels all the way down.
So she does a thing where she gets dressed, and this is our second occasion of this. She gets dressed underneath a towel, so you can tell she's naked under there.
She's like, can you hand me my panties?
So she puts her panties on under her towel. Then she asks for her bra. The police officer tries to hand her bra with his gun.
In the dumbest thing I've ever seen, he's like, let's see, I've got a hand free, and I've got a gun in one hand. I better pick up the bra by the strap with the gun and hand her the bra using the gun.
And, of course, she does a bunch of high kickety flippy flips.
Kicks the gun out of his hand and then kicks people and loses the towel and is...
Oh, topless,
just tits a free, but you don't see anything.
No, of course not. You just see the side booby.
Yeah, because the bra has gone flying into the air, and after she beats the shit out of everyone, she gets to do that thing where like she puts her hands up, and then the bra just sort of like falls into place.
Is that something you can do, ladies? If any of you ladies are capable of throwing a bra into the air and then holding your hands up such that the straps drop down neatly around them?
I mean, I would think it would just sort of settle on top of her breasts instead of like... Oh, it went down and then, like, actually went under and cupped.
Yeah, the underwire got into position and everything.
Yeah, I was like, that's not how that works.
I was going to finish that off with, you know, ladies, can any of you do that? Then I was like, but don't tell me, though, because I don't want to know that information.
If I know that, that's forbidden info.
Well, no, it's then I'd be like, hey, ladies, contact me about your bras. I don't want to be...
And I'm not Howard Stern.
I don't want to be that podcaster. So don't tell me. I just would like to prefer to assume that it can't be done.
Ladies, please tell me about your bra spinning techniques. Any of you bra ninjas?
Yeah, you know what? I'll also accept an answer from that guy from Pathfinder who spent a day trying to whip a mouse into his hand to test the weapon cord feet.
Look, I spent an entire day trying to put a bra on by throwing it in the air, and I couldn't, so it's impossible.
That's why it's a standard action instead of a swift action, unless you take the feet. So that's me. I'm that guy.
And we also learned from this that she had a partner that ratted her out.
Yes, which she susses out by talking to the police officer or whatever. But then after she's done beating up all these dudes, she escapes from the building by beating up a guy in an elevator and stealing his clothes. And then once she gets outside, wouldn't you know it, a big two-bladed thing flies out of the sky and smacks in front of her and invites her to DOA.
Yeah, she's driving away in some motorcycle and she's like, ooh, yeah. And she's all excited about it. I'm like, what? Why?
Is her fighting style is thief? This is a weird one.
Yeah, no. I mean, when we get the incredibly shitty graphic, it says she's a professional thief assassin.
Yeah.
Which I guess she multiclassed.
Well, she could be an acrobat thief. That was a single class back in like the
first
division.
Acrobat thief assassin.
Yeah. Maybe she's a dual class. But yeah, I mean, it's not like she does any assassinating in this movie. She just does kicks.
No, the fact that they put assassin on her little title card for what she is, I was like, really? Because she didn't kill anyone and doesn't.
Yeah. So, okay, that's enough famous people. There aren't anyone else who gets their own special introduction. At this point, we cut to all these ladies are on a plane, and so are a bunch of other ladies and dudes and people.
Yeah, and they're all hanging out on a plane, and we get the little intro video from Helena, who's like, hey, everybody, I'm your host, and you're here to fight for $10 million.
Helena looks like she's introducing an MTV Beach House Spring Break event.
It is very true.
It just pops up. Hey, y'all. I hope you're excited for the Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Weekend broadcast live on MTV.
Woo! All right, let's kick it over to Carson Daly.
Carson Daly in there. Yeah, I'm here with Common. and of course, we're going to discuss the upcoming Spring Break event. I do not wish to discuss that, Carson.
Carson, no.
Why am I here?
Carson? No.
Carson, I'm a serious rapper. I was a bad choice.
How dare you?
You're right. I'm sorry. We're going to connect
here,
this over
we're
to...
back with John Legend.
Shoot. Why does this keep happening?
Carson,
Here now with the cast of Jurassic 5. Charlie Tuna, I do not wish to participate in this.
No, this is not going to happen.
Fine. We're going to call in Massive Bow Wow.
Guys, we've got massive Wayne here.
Oh, yeah.
We've got massive Romeo.
Okay, so they're all in the plane, and we get to see a whole bunch of characters who you have to assume are probably dead or alive fighting characters because they all get little introductions with their names flashed across the bottom of the screen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll at least say this. For the character of Zack, which I've never played DOA, but I know that he is a character because they went out of their way to make this guy look like a fighting game character.
Oh, yeah. He's got, like, a little green,
like tiny mini mohawk?
Yeah, wait, stuck way up front. It looks like he's, like, a claw hammer or a bottle opener or something.
Yeah. It really looks like the kind of fin scoop you'd have on, like, a helmet if you were the Rocketeer.
Yeah, it kind of looks like he had a quarter pipe that a kid built to keep in their own, like, driveway. Just a model of that was just glued to his forehead,
yeah,
spray painted green.
A half pipe for ants on top of his head.
That's pretty much it.
What is this? A half pipe for ants?
It looks like he suffered a horrible accident as a child where someone threw a door stopper at him so hard it got stuck there.
And he also has a little, like, goatee mustache thing going on that
also,
is also green.
Yeah, Zack's a pretty great character. It's a shame he's not as big of a deal in the movie as
he
could be.
I'm gonna say right now, I was fucking rooting for Zack the entire movie because he's the only one that looked interesting.
Yeah. You've also got Kevin Nash, who's just there as Kevin Nash in a cowboy hat.
He's like, hi, I'm Kevin Nash. I think my name is, I don't know, something else. Anyway.
It's probably Adam Smasher or something. I don't know. Whatever.
His last name is Armstrong because Tina's name was Armstrong.
Oh, that's right. So his name is probably like
Flex Armstrong.
Yeah, yeah. Beef Armstrong. My name's Neil Armstrong.
That's right. It's me, Neil Armstrong, and I'm here DOA.
First wrestler on the moon.
Brother, when I get to the moon, I'm going to suplex it.
It was me, the moon.
It was me the whole time.
So, yeah.
God damn it. Okay. So, yeah, we get that. We get some very generic Asian fighters.
It's like, yeah, but you know that they're characters from the game because they have cool names like Lao Fei and Jen Fu.
Oh, yeah. And you get them and you're like, what is this? Oh, I'm the old Asian guy that's in this game.
And you've got the girl one that's like a Chun-Li, kind of. She has the hair bows on the side and she's wearing the Chinese dress.
And you know they're going to be gone just instantly because none of them are introduced.
Yeah.
They all just sort of like sit on the plane and are like, haha, yes.
I am also here.
And the only time we learn their name is when they get to the island and they do the full introductions of everyone.
Yeah. Which, this is great because Helen is telling them how the island works. She's like, okay, so this is the rules. Anyone can fight anyone at any time when they're on the island. You never know. You'll be randomly assigned fights. And you can fight however you want, but no weapons. Also, the winner gets $10 million. Also, the only way to get to the island is to bail out of the airplane right the fuck now. Right now, you have to go. There's parachutes under your seats. You got to go, go, go.
Yeah, if you're not to the temple by sundown, you're out of the tournament.
Yep.
Which would be great if no one made it. And they're like, huh.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. I was expecting that as soon as they announced that, people would try and kill each other on the drop to try and DQ people, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just like you're going past and you just snip someone's wires on their parachute and be like, ah, fuck you.
See you at the tournament, dumbass. But instead, what happens is most of the people who jump out of the planes disappear, and the three main ladies arrive at the wrong spot all together and all at once, so they have to climb up a big tower.
Yep, a big Buddha tower thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, it's almost sundown, and, oh, they're going to have to work together. They don't want to, though.
No, they don't like each other at all, and you can tell this Buddha tower thing they arrived at is important, because Lord knows it's the scene of, like, half the movie.
Yep. I have to assume this is definitely one of the places you fought at.
Yep. So they start climbing the tower separately, but it's funny because some of them are like free climbing by just jumping up the levels and so on. But Jamie Presley's Tina has clearly just found a fence because she's just climbing a fucking fence.
Everyone else is like doing weird flips and shit. She's like, hey, there's a ladder.
Hey, there's a chain link fence. I'm just going to climb this.
Hey, guys. I don't have cool flip powers. I'm just this.
It's very impressive how much upper body strength you guys have to be able to do all those like floaty splits moves. But I'm going to climb this fence.
I know you're like doing a backflip from one level to the next higher level,
mm-hmm.
and that's cool. But I'm climbing this fence.
Yeah. So they do this for a while, but then they realize it's getting dark and they won't make it. And all three will be disqualified from the tournament if they don't work together. So they do. They team up and they throw one lady and then she rolls backwards and catches the second lady. And blabbity blah.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of the main characters are all friends now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after this opening scene, it doesn't seem like anyone gives a shit about this tournament because everyone's like, Teehee, you're my buddy. Let's sleep in the same bedroom and let's have tickle fights.
I'm going to give you a massage.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Everyone in this movie is just like, oh, Teehee tickle parties. We're here for $10 million, which how are you paying for this? Who is paying for this?
Oh,
I know it's
fame. Fame, whatever, was independently very wealthy. And he left it in the good hands of his friend Victor Boober, whatever.
There's no cameras here. There's no
There's
audience.
Cameras everywhere. People.
No, I'm not saying like broadcast.
Oh, okay,
no one
yeah.
is watching this.
No, that is true.
Which means you're not making money off of it. It's just once a year some rich guy was like, you know what sounds good? $10 million gone. Down the shitter.
I mean, we'll discover the secret subplot to all of this as we make our way through the movie. But yeah, the initial idea of what this island is quite stupid.
Yeah.
So the three women manage to get to the top of this tower after a brief mishap where part of the landscape that they're climbing up just collapses underneath them. Get ready for that. This island is made out of the shittiest plaster.
Well, I think it's because at least in some of the later DOAs, the whole point was like, oh, we have a destructible environment,
I'm sure.
We can like kick you through a wall and then you go to a different level to fight in.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's happening. But Kasumi falls off the tower thing and they catch her by doing like a human chain. But while she's at the bottom of the human chain, oh no, she sees her nemesis, Ayame, that purple-haired lady we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, she sees purple hair, and purple hair will come in at some point. There's a lot of, I caught a glimpse of purple lady, and then nothing.
Yeah. So they get to the top, and Helena comes out to greet them, and she's like, unfortunately, you're the last to arrive, but I'll take you to everyone else. It doesn't mean anything. She just says it that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're the last to arrive. That's too bad. I mean, you're still in the tournament, and nothing bad has happened, but anyway.
So she takes them to the rest, and they all get to meet Eric Roberts.
And he's like, hi, I'm Eric Roberts. You might remember me from a talking cat.
I'm in a variety of movies, including more than one David Dakota film.
Weird, right? Anyway.
Because he did a talking cat, and he also did D.B. Cooper versus Bigfoot.
Yep.
So,
boy, howdy.
Yeah, he will do anything for any amount of money. Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts. Get him in your film.
Get him in your film. We should get him a guest on this podcast. I wonder how much it would cost.
I mean, it can't be much.
No. Folks, let's add that to the Patreon. At $2,000, we will figure out what it costs to recruit Eric Roberts. We won't do it. We'll just do the research.
Oh, yeah. We'll figure it out. And then...
And then we'll set the actual goal.
And then at $2,500, we'll contact him. Not to be on the show.
We'll just reach out.
Him.
We'll just say hi. Just to say hi. I would love to know who his agent is.
Oh, I'm sure if you go to Whore Presence, you'll find out.
Ah, yeah. Whore Presence. Maybe we could set up a meeting with him out on Penis Land.
Yes, indeed.
So, okay. Eric Roberts is like playing Victor or something or other,
yeah,
whatever.
Victor Freeze.
Generic bad guyman. He is wearing a big old heavy yellow robe and looks ridiculous. And he gives us a lot of exposition. He's like, yes, my best friend Fame built this island. And when he died, I took over. And that's why we're going to have this rad tournament where I get to watch who fights who. Tomorrow, you're all going to get a super important physical you have to get. And then it's basically a weird MTV party on the island unless you're fighting someone.
Yeah. You've all got these little like wristwatch things, and at any point it could beep and show you who you're supposed to fight. But up until that point, you're pretty much just having a weird beach vacation.
Uh-huh. It's very, very weird.
Yeah. I mean, again, at least in Mortal Kombat, even the protagonists were like, no, fuck you. I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Like, there was some competition there. Everyone in this is like, $10 million, teehee, I just want to have fun.
Except for the our thief assassin, Christy, who wants to steal the $10 million, but also fight in the tournament.
Oh, yeah. And her boyfriend slash partner that sold her out is also there, and it's Max.
Yeah, that's Max, and he's a minor character, but he's there. Don't even worry about
it. He wants money, and he's like, how would you like to get more than $10 million? How about... $100 million?
Dollars.
Like, great.
Okay.
That would be cool. And he's like, good. There's millions of dollars here. We're going to steal it.
And then she's like, stop talking. I want you to do something else with your mouth.
Which is stop talking.
Leave the room.
I want you to leave the room with your mouth.
Figure it out.
By your mouth. I want you to walk out lips first.
No, she just sleeps with him because that's her character. She sleeps with this Max dude, and then the next morning we get started on all the fun fight tech. Oh, I'm sorry. First, we have to do the doctor visit where they give big shots to everybody that are full of nano tennis balls.
Yeah, little tennis balls go through the bloodstream, and we haven't mentioned very much, but oh my god, every time there's any CGI in this, it is real bad. Because all the intro scenes where it shows like the people's little title card thing is, it looks like what you would use on one of those, like, ah, this is American Ninja Warrior, and now, shing, coming up next.
Like, the Super Bowl has better CGI than this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's amazing because they use these CGI moments all the way throughout the film in what are very clearly cuts to commercial.
Yeah, the movie every time, like, a beat stops for, like, oh, we finished this fight, and now it's time to move on to whatever the next thing is, it does this, like, DOA, shing.
Mm-hmm. And then they might as well do another one to bring you back in because it's so clearly a commercial break.
Yeah.
This movie was made for TV, even though this thing definitely went to theaters.
Yep. This was, they knew making this, they're like, oh, this is garbage, and the only way anyone is going to see this is when it plays on, like, TBS or some shit.
Yeah, or if, say, for example, someone hosts a dumb podcast with a terrible idea for the structure of it.
Yeah, if that ever happens.
Yeah, no one would ever be dumb enough to do that. But you know, God forbid if someone did start a podcast where they watch things recommended to them by random internet weirdos.
I mean, maybe if there's an entire podcast about the DOA series in general called Dumb or Alive...
But that's foolish, and we don't even need to worry about that. That's less than 1% of the population is starting their own podcast about Dead or Alive.
Yeah, about 1% of the population has their own podcast.
Look to your left, look to your right, now look in 97 other directions. One of those people has a Dead or Alive podcast.
One of them. There is at least 60 million Dead or Alive podcasts out there.
Well, some of them could be more than one person sharing a podcast. There could be one podcast about Dead or Alive with 60 million people on it.
Oh, yeah. There's an entire nation that does a Dead or Alive podcast out there. And you've got to find it.
French Guiana. Okay, so, Jesus. Then after everyone gets their shots that are full of evil nanomachines, we finally get to start to see the wheels under all this shit. There's a nerd named Weatherby who's a real nerd.
Oh, Weatherby. He likes ladies, but he's a nerd.
He's got a crush on Helena, but he'll never be able to talk to her because she's Weatherby the nerd.
Oh, no. She's so pretty, and I'm so pretty, but I've got glasses on.
He's Matthew Marsden. He's hot as hell.
Yeah, the fact that they were like, here, you're gonna be basically that stereotype from movies where it's the girl has glasses and a ponytail and then she takes that off and then is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That's you. You're doing that as a dude.
Yep. So that's the thing. He is hanging out in a secret command center with Eric Roberts, who is running data out of all the fighters based on these nanobots that he injected into their bloodstream.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to watch them fight, and I'll study the data that their nanobots send back.
We'll see all of the muscle movements that they do. All of their moves will be recorded.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, so what we should do is start up all these fightins, and so we're going to send out this person to attack this person.
We're going to have Jen Fu fight Li Fang, and no one gives a shit. The fight happens in, like,
that fight. Yeah,
it's like it takes 2 seconds, and we'll just cut to it.
Well, because they get rid of, like, everybody on the island here. This is like how they eliminate everybody but the four main characters.
Yeah,
because Helena, by the way, counts as a main character, and so does Hayabusa, I guess.
There's like 12 people or so, maybe 16 to start with, and they go to the next 8, and it's just, let's get rid of everyone who isn't a main character, and then maybe, like, 2 more people.
Well, there's a few bad guys as well that get names. There's, like, Leon and Bayman.
Oh, Bayman.
I'm Bayman. Criminals are a cowardly and superstitious lot.
I must become a guy in an orange vest. I'm a traffic cone.
I must become the thing they fear most. Michael Bay.
The Bay.
The Bay. That movie about, like, parasites that take over your tongue or whatever.
That's me. I'm Bayman. I go around and I show people the Bay.
I vaguely remember that movie, even though it had almost nothing to do with Scythera Exigua or whatever those fucking things are called. Really, it was just a terrible movie.
It was just real bad, and I'm sorry.
Awful found footage. Okay, so anyway, we get rid of a bunch of fights here. We also, the one main character who doesn't get a fight all day long on the first day is Kasumi, because she's just wandering around the island because this is where her brother disappeared and she's feeling sad. I mean, you have to assume she's feeling sad. Pretty much she has to tell us she's feeling sad because Devon Aoki doesn't have a face that functions. She has a very pretty face that cannot move.
Yeah, like, she should basically go around with just a sign that says current emotion.
Yeah, she should just walk around with that pain scale doctors have and just point to it for you.
Because she's always in pain, obviously.
She's always in certain amounts of pain, yeah. But she is the stone-faced. There's a reason that she plays silent killers in every other movie you've ever seen her in. That's what she's good at.
Yeah, I think twice in this movie, she smiles and you're like, holy shit, she can move her face.
Yeah, there's a split second during the volleyball scene, which is stuffed into this, where she's genuinely happy because she's having a fun time playing volleyball. And I was like, holy shit, she can smile. I thought her face was broken.
Oh, no.
So she doesn't get in a fight all first day long, but everyone else does, and they all beat their opponents. So I couldn't even tell you who everyone
including
beats.
Including fucking Max beats Bayman by kicking his shoes off at him.
Well, his first fight is with Zach, and he passes by faking an injury.
Yeah.
Which means he gets to go into a second round somehow. We don't even know what's going on.
Oh, yeah,
that.
He gets a bye.
Yeah. So, but we don't even see that fight. He's just like, oh, I had to fight Zach. I feigned an injury so he could move on. But I get to stay on the island and keep looking for the $100 million.
Yeah, and he does fight Bayman and beats him by kicking shoes off into his nuts and face.
Yes, that also happens, but I don't think that's an officially sanctioned brawl.
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 That's not a brawl.
That's not an officially sanctioned bratwurst.
That is not an officially sanctioned Barbara.
Yeah, so he does get in a fight with Bayman, though. Bayman is a big stoic muscle dude. Both of the big stoic muscle dudes in this movie have the superpower of, you know, super armor from video games, where you can kick him and they're just like, I don't care.
That's my thing. I don't care if you hit me.
I don't care about being kicked, but I do not get receiving shoes thrown at my nuts.
Yeah, you can kick me in the face and I'll just move my head back into place and be like, smile. Ugh. But if you throw a shoe at my nuts, I will immediately fall to the floor and die.
Yeah. So
that's my glowing red weak spot, apparently.
But all three of the two of the other women just get into a fight with a random dude named like Jesse or like Rage or some dumb thing like that and just casually beat them up and it's not a big deal and they move on.
Kasumi has to fight Leon.
Yeah, the next morning, Kasumi has to fight.
Leon's getting larger.
Leon is the other giant muscle dude on the island, and this is his only fight.
And his arms make gun noises when
yes,
he moves them.
His arms make gun noises. Which I was like, wait, isn't that a Tekken guy?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I thought that was like, what was it, Brian or something from Tekken?
Gunjack.
Gunjack, that's right. Brian looks like Gunjack.
Yeah, he does, except he doesn't have guns for arms. He just has, you know, big arms for arms.
Brian is jacked.
Brian in Tekken is the one who's a zombie, I think.
Maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
My favorite character to play. His full name is Brian Fury, and I think he's dead. I think he's an undead zombie.
I mean, he might be at this point in Tekken lore.
I'm going all the way back to Tekken 2, I think. That was when I first started to really like him.
All right.
Or Tekken 3. I don't know. Whichever one had the dinosaur farting around
in Tekken 3, he just had, like, a robot arm. And how could you beat him?
Yeah, he had a robot arm. But no, Tekken 3, whatever the game was where you could play as that doctor who couldn't even stand up, but he had to move around the stage by farting, and you could also play as a little cartoon dinosaur. Brian Fury is my favorite character in that one.
Great. So that might be 2 or 3. I don't know.
It could be any number of them.
I loved Eddie. Give me that capoeira, man.
I loved Eddie, and I also loved his alternate costume where he was Tiger, and he was like a disco man. That was great shit. So anyway, they all get in fights. And then Kasumi has to fight Leon, who apparently, according to Eric Roberts, defeated her brother.
But her brother was the master of acupuncture, and there's no way that would happen.
We get to see a backstory shot of her brother getting into a fight because she had been captured. She was all tied up in some random gazebo somewhere, and her brother shows up, throws a big box of needles into the room, and then jumps in there and does a bunch of flips while grabbing needles out of the air and acupuncturing people into paralysis.
Yep.
It's actually a cool-looking fight, but you know it would not translate very well to DOA, where weapons are against the rules.
Yeah, there's this thing where she's like, oh, but he's the best fighter, and I'm just thinking, yeah, but all we've seen from him is fighting with a sword or acupuncture needles. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe he's kind of shit if he's just barehand.
To be fair, she cheats a lot. Every time she has to get in a fight, she just starts picking up whatever's in the room and throwing it and swinging it around.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they're like, oh, we're going to start a fight, and you're fighting in some bedroom somewhere, so hey, look, there's furniture.
Yeah, so basically Leon shows up to attack her, and she's way eager to get into this because she wants to see if this dude is dangerous enough to kill her brother. So she gets in a fight with him, and they just go crashing through a bunch of, like, hotel rooms.
Yep.
Including Max and Christie's hotel room, where they were trying to get boned down.
Oh, they had boned down.
Yeah. But now they're just watching this fight. This big, stupid fight that goes on for a long time. And eventually, Kasumi...
She, like, kicks him out a window.
Yeah, she hasn't even won yet, and she's like, you can't be the one who beat my brother. You suck. And then she kicks him out a window.
You are balls. Goodbye.
Yeah. And at this point, this is one of my, this is a dumb thing. They get this data from Kasumi. Eric Roberts is all like thrilled about it. And he's like, okay, there's only one fight left that needs to happen. Let's set up a battle between Jamie Presley's Tina and her dad. It's a father-daughter grudge match, except they like each other.
Yeah, there's no grudge here.
Yeah.
Like, he goes to fight her, walks into the room, and Christy is in Tina's room because the fight just went through Christy's room. She's like, thanks for letting me stay here because my bedroom's all fucked up because there was a fight happening in it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, no problem. And the dad comes in, and I love that. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you had special company. Oh, I'll go. You two enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, it's great because he starts by going, whoa! But then he catches himself, and he's super cool. He's a good dad.
Oh, yeah. He's like, look, if that's what you want to do, I'll support you 100%.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll fight tomorrow. You two have fun.
Yeah, you two have a great time, and I will not disturb you further. Good night, miss. And she's like, my name's Christy. And he's like, oh, that's great. Her name's Christina. She just goes by the Tina part, Dad.
Oh, you two are a great couple. And then he leaves, and I'm like, thank you. Fucking for a movie that had to have come out in, like, the mid-90s for this.
This is way later than you think it is. This is from, like, 2008.
Oh, my God. That makes me real sad that they waited till 2008 to make a DOA movie. Fine. I was going to give this super great credit for being like, not only is he fine with it, but they don't go to like, ooh, ladies.
I think they try to have both parts, because there's no part where he's like, ooh, ladies, touching ladies. But there's a scene where Tina has to kind of bluster her way through, and she's like, Dad, we're just sleeping together. No, I think I understand that.
No, I get it.
No, Dad, we're just sleeping in the same bed. And Christy has to be like, well, you know, this would make a lot more sense if you just slept naked like I do. I'm naked under this blanket. Naked. But thankfully, Kevin Nash is there to save the day, but to just be like, hey, whatever you guys do is great. Have fun.
I don't care. You two enjoy your lives how you want to live them.
Somehow I'm still going to get grandkids. I'm not worried about it.
Kevin Nash, I'm out.
Yeah, and that's what happens. And then so they agree to fight the next morning, which I guess Tina forgets, because the next morning she's out getting a free massage and acupuncture from Kasumi on a weird raft.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, Nash is like, oh, hey, I'm not interrupting again, am I? Hey, does Christina know about her? And I'm like, oh, you're a good dad.
He's a good dad. But it turns out he's just there to fight, and so they have a dumb fight, which weirdly happens with Tina setting the rules of the fight?
Yeah, she's like, look, we're going to fight on my raft, and the first one into the water loses.
And no one's... I was expecting a loudspeaker to be like, no, you have to knock someone unconscious.
We established the rules to begin with. It's unconscious or dead.
We had this conversation. You can't just make up rules.
It was yesterday I told you this. Come on.
And Kasumi's like, wait, can we just make up rules? The first person to be Kasumi wins the $10 million.
Whoop.
Hey, hey.
What do you know?
Also, she gets her brother back. And a pony.
Ah, too late. I was already Kasumi before you.
Shoot. So the two of them have a fun wrestle fight on the raft where they just sort of do wrestle moves at each other, and eventually Tina gets mad and punches and kicks her dad a bunch and pushes him off the raft. The end.
Hooray.
And he's super happy to lose.
Yeah, he like pops up out of the water and gives a big thumbs up.
And he's
good
like,
job.
Yeah. You know, it's super. Kevin Nash disappears from the movie at this in this stage.
And that's the worst thing that happened to this movie.
Because he
outside
is.
Outside of the being made.
He is so great in this minor role he has as a wrestle man in this movie.
He is the saving grace of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Once he's gone, you pretty much have to rely on Zach to be the saving grace. And Zach's a little pushy with the women.
Yeah,
so there's
Zach's like, hey, sexy mama, why don't you and me get to know each other? And of course, he gets shut down a lot. He's constantly going after Tina.
Mm-hmm. And constantly getting rejected, but he never takes no for an answer.
Until he needs to DJ, and then he's like, great.
Yeah, but this is the funny thing. He comes right after this scene. He comes after her in a hot tub. Oh, no, this is how Leon dies. I forgot. We missed this.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when Leon is still attacking Kasumi, Zach is hitting on Tina in a hot tub. And he's like, hey, baby, we should get to know each other. Hey, eat this mousse I brought with me. You know, like chocolate mousse. He doesn't have
yeah,
like a
eat this entire mousse I brought with me.
A mousse. I never traveled to an island in the middle of the Pacific without a mousse.
Look, I may look weird, but I'm a full-blooded Canadian, and I don't go anywhere without a mousse and poutine.
So...
And the only thing I'm missing is a beaver.
But this is hilarious because... Nice, by the way.
Yeah, you get it?
Because Tina's like, all right, fine, we'll play. Take off your pants and give me close your eyes. And so he does that, and then Tina gets out of the pool, and then Leon falls on him from like 50 feet in the air. And I'm like, she couldn't have set that up. She didn't know there was a fight happening.
Well, no, her whole prank was, I'm going to leave with your swimming trunks so you're naked, and ooh, you have to walk back to your room naked.
It's a great prank, but I don't think it was going to work on Zach. I think that dude's going to
Zach would just, like, come out of the pool and be like, whatever.
Huh? Look at this. Check out my wild green pubes.
Look, everyone, I'm swinging green dong.
I've got a green dong, and you know my pubes are hardened into a little green mohawk that looks like a doorstopper.
Oh, yeah.
I got another one of those.
The same hairstyle on his head is shaved into his pubes.
Some people have a landing strip. I've got a skateboard ramp.
I've got the other half of my half pipe.
Yep, that's what it is. So, but anyway, Leon almost kills him by falling on him instead.
Yeah.
So, at this point, we're down to the semifinals. I think there's like 8 fights left or something.
Yeah, because we have to have Tina fight Zach. But first, we have to do volleyball.
Yeah, but first, it's volleyball day.
Because DOA volleyball exists, so we have to have a good 20 minutes of this movie dedicated to volleyball.
And, of course, by volleyball, what we really mean is close-up shots of the labia majora of all 4 of the main characters. I mean, yes, there's bathing suits in the way.
I mean, yes, the labia minora as well.
Well, you don't get to see. Those are so far removed from the action.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time it's Hanukkah, I like to get out the labia minora.
Wait, there's 7 of these?
Oh, damn.
7 vaginas.
7 vaginas.
Okay, so, but yeah, I mean, it's just a bunch of close-up shots of their crotches and boobs. Because it's all 4 of our mains. It's Helena and the other 3 mains in their bathing suits playing some volleyball and giving each other high fives and diving into that sand. And there's fun music playing. There's a DJ there.
Oh, yeah.
It's straight up just spring break.
You have Zach who's calling the game.
Yeah, he jumps up on a lifeguard tower and starts calling the game.
Yeah, and for some reason, they have cards with giant numbers on them ready to go for this.
Being held by yet more bathing suit babes. By the way, the island has about 1,000 disposable ninja dudes all over it.
There are so many people on this island that just aren't fighters, but aren't, like, at any of the fights.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like they did come down from their little tournament area and just went into spring break, and no one realized.
Okay, so they play volleyball for about 20 minutes. Then somebody
has to fight purples.
Yeah, because out of nowhere, a shuriken comes flying out and pops the volleyball, and Kasumi catches the popped volleyball and is like, I must go, and then she runs away.
And I keep thinking, okay, but why? Why do you want to go fight her somewhere?
Yeah.
You could just stay where everyone is and nothing happens.
Yeah, I mean, your stuff keeps getting popped. Oh, shurikens are ruining this party.
Every time I get a drink, a shuriken goes into the bottom of it and all my liquid goes out.
My silly straw is broken. A shuriken went through it.
I got ice cream and a shuriken knocked my ice cream off.
We were over here playing cornhole and a shuriken pinned one of the cornhole bags to the side of the cornhole table.
Well, we were over here playing cornhole and a shuriken. I'll just stop you right there.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping me right there. But instead, she goes off into a convenient bamboo forest and has a fight with Ayame, which she wins.
Yay.
And Ayame, she finally basically manages to convince Ayame that, like, hey, quit chasing after me. I'm looking for your brother. Why aren't you on my side?
Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah, that's the only answer she's really going to get. But the other 3 are still playing beach volleyball. Then they set up their big plan. While the semifinals are happening, Hayabusa is going to raid the big building. Remember him? He's the dude who's, like, dedicated to Kasumi.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna
just sort of, like, disappeared for a while and then showed back up.
He's going to raid a big building to get some details about whatever happened to Hayate.
And Christy and Max want to get treasure, and they found a tattoo on
Helena
that is apparently the code to get in there.
It looks like Sanskrit, but it turns out it's just backwards Arabic numerals.
Hooray.
Okay, and then more fights and fights and fights, and this is the point where people start kind of raiding the core building of the island, you know, like,
well, yeah, we get to the semifinals. Like, Helena gets knocked out by Christy, but it doesn't matter because we don't get into the finals, like, at all.
No, we just get to the semifinals. The semifinal finalists are Tina, Hayabusa, Kasumi, and Christy.
Yep.
Helena has been knocked out, but who cares? We will never see any more fights.
No one ever fights anyone anymore.
Well, not officially.
Now it just goes to the plot.
Beating up bad guys. So it turns out that the entire building is full of ninja guards, which is weird because if everybody on the island is the best fighter in the world, you'd think you'd just hire some regular gun-having dudes.
Yeah, no one on this island has a gun, and you're like, that seems like a bad plan. All of your guards are just going to sit there and try and barefist fight people that you know are better than them.
Yeah. So Hayabusa easily fights his way through a whole huge building and then is defeated by, I don't know, gas or something. It doesn't matter.
There's been so many times where I've been defeated by gas.
We find him unconscious. Weatherby, the big nerd Weatherby, shows up during the volleyball party and hits on Helena, so now they're friends.
And then he consoles Helena after her loss, and they're like, oh, Weatherby, you're so nice.
Yeah, and he's like, great. And then they're attacked by sword people.
By like 20 sword guys.
Yeah, and 20 more sword ladies all at once.
Boy, howdy, do they win.
Yeah, they sure win that fight. Kasumi and Tina and Christy, meanwhile, are raiding the office of Eric Roberts, and they immediately find their way into a secret chamber that leads them down into the bowels of the building.
Yeah, and they find his secret recipe is 11 spices and herbs.
The herbs and spices, kid. Let's just cut to the chase here. All four of the finalists get captured and locked in tube things. It turns out the nanobots are there because Eric Roberts has a secret pair of super sunglasses that can suck the fighting techniques out of people who have nanobots in them, and he wanted the four finalists to have all their powers at once. So he puts on some sunglasses and sucks all the powers out of everybody, but they still have the powers. He just gets the data.
God damn. I was so very pissed off at this because there's two ways you could have done this, and they kind of tried to do both. One is, while you are wearing these glasses, it predicts the people that you're fighting what their moves are going to be so you can get ahead of them. And that's pretty much what you see, but he also can do all of their moves. I'm like, oh, he's a super fightsman as long as he's wearing these sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't download how to fight. All the glasses are showing him is what his opponent is going to do.
No, he downloaded how to fight earlier. He knows kung fu.
Oh, good. Show me.
So,
I would have been okay if it was, I've got these sunglasses and I get the knowledge beamed into my head, and then he takes them off and he's like, now I know all of your fight moves and I am the ultimate boss. I would have been okay with that.
It would have been funny because he would have been like, I have the powers of all four of you combined. And they'd be like, so do we. That's literally the only power that we have when we're fighting as a group, is the power of the four of us combined.
Yeah, but just the four of you combined as one dude. I don't just have professional wrestling or assassination or shinobi princess.
Well, then we have eight legs to your two. We're going to win by having more kicks.
Yeah, even if you've got real good kicks,
yeah,
you can kick one of us and then the other three will kick you.
Yeah, he'll be like, I have the powers of all four of you combined, plus the powers of Eric Roberts.
Oh, no.
Oh, surely we are undone. He'll tell us to turn off our beeping machines.
And Eric Roberts talking to me?
It turns out that his plan, though, isn't to take their powers and then kill them. It's to take their powers, then open up a door where Hayate, Kasumi's long-thought dead brother, has secretly been kept in tip-top fighting shape, and he's going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, he's like, and now to test out my new power. And he beats the shit out of Hayate because he's got the power of predictive fighting.
Yeah, he does the Sherlock Holmes, I can see how this fight will go, so I'll do it a different way move.
Yeah, and then he gets on a big screen. He's like, you see, gentlemen, with my technology, you can be the greatest fighters. And I'm like, well, I thought you had the greatest fighters here. So you're just sending to shitty but yet also rich fighters want to be better fighters, but only when they're wearing sunglasses.
And only when they're fighting these four people. Or people who have similar fighting styles to these four people.
And only for hand-to-hand combat. It's not like it makes you like, oh, I learned all of these moves. It's, I can have sunglasses that help me kind of protect, like predict what's going on, but if the sunglasses fall off, I'm still just me.
I still really wanted one of the dudes he was selling the stuff to be like, ah, thank you. We are considering your offer, but it comes up lacking to the cost of guns.
It turns out that being able to be a rad kicks man does not matter in this, the modern day.
But instead, they all just sort of randomly transfer money to him, and he starts a process to transfer
he has collected.
Yeah, to them. And then it's stopped by Weatherby the Nerd.
Weatherby the Nerd stops it, and he also frees all of them from their chambers.
And now everyone's fighting everyone. They go off to steal the money, the $100 million that was hidden in the boot ahead. But unfortunately, Eric Roberts calls up his associate, Bayman.
And Bayman is going to go get that money so Max, who went by himself to go get hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever, and now has to fight Bayman, but he can't be stopped by shoes to the nuts.
He's immune to shoes. He's leveled up.
His one weakness gone. How could you possibly beat him?
So he gets, so Max gets knocked unconscious, then Bayman gets in a fight with all four of the finalists while holding two huge bags of money, and he's still doing pretty well.
Yeah, he holds his own against what we have been led to believe are four of the best fighters, and he got knocked out early.
Then they all go flying through a wall, and they end up fighting in that giant Buddha head tower thing from earlier in the film. Some of them fall to what should be their death, but instead they're captured by Ayame, who's waiting down below to catch anyone who falls.
Yeah.
Twice. That happens twice.
Because Hayate is down there, and she's like, oh, you're alive. Now I don't want to murder people.
Yeah, instead they catch people with ladders. And then they fight. Everyone else on the island has no idea what's going on. A big fight's happening. Eventually,
there's a self-destruct that's going off.
Mm-hmm. There's a self-destruct which took three computer screens to deal with, because Eric Roberts starts it by going to one computer screen, typing in a code that starts the self-destruct, walking to another computer screen, confirming the self-destruct, and then walking to a third one and looking at it to see the self-destruct countdown beginning.
Yep. He was like, well, that's good.
That's good. Three computers. Takes three computers to do this.
But I mean, if you're going to do a self-destruct, you should have some, you know, built-in...
some redundancies?
Like, you can't just accidentally hit a button and start the countdown. You've got to go over, have someone who's at the other computer be like, yeah, I meant to do this.
Yeah, and you should at least have to say something like, Picard 7 Beta 6 Alpha.
Yes.
You need to have that kind of thing. So, anyway, they fight. And then, eventually, Kasumi uses the power of acupuncture to paralyze Eric Roberts.
Yeah, because he gets hit hard enough at one point, his glasses go flying, and he can't predict moves anymore.
Now he only has the power of an Eric Roberts.
And one Eric Roberts is no match for six regular fightsmen.
Yeah, so six sexy ladies beat him up real goodly.
And then the whole place explodes.
The whole place explodes. The women have to dive off the tower into the ocean.
The only people we see get out of there are the main characters, so I have to assume just dozens of ninja guys and probably beach people got killed.
Oh, we're feeling bad for Zach right now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to poor
dead?
Zach and Jen Fu and like probably
Lei Fang
late Leon.
And all of them are very dead, including probably Carson Daly. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Carson Daly was, and Sway was probably there.
They're dead now.
I don't know what era it is. It might have also been Kennedy. Who knows? It could have been any number of random people.
Downtown Julie Brown may have been there.
What's his name? Pinter, that bald dude?
Yeah, that could have happened. He went over to MTV2.
Yeah, he sure did, because he was like the best dude. Eric Loader's probably dead.
Hopefully.
I like Jeff. Wait, is it Eric Loader or is it Jeff Loader? I forget that guy's name now.
It's Eric.
It's Eric Loader. He's the one who did the news for a long time.
Yeah, it turns out he's a sex pervert.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, it turns out he's a huge asshole.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Everyone you know that has been on TV is a huge asshole.
I mean, I know Kennedy sucked after she was on MTV.
Yep, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Carson Daly, I'm pretty sure, also came around to sucking at some point.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. All right. Well, what about Jesse Camp, John? Please tell me.
Oh, Jesse is a pinnacle of human achievement.
But
he's a paragon.
But he definitely died in the fire, though.
Oh,
right?
He died. Though.
Yeah, he exploded in that fire.
He for sure died.
Him and all of the members of his band, Jesse and the Something Street Kids.
Jesse and the Who Could Give a Fuck.
Who could possibly remember a fucking thing about Jesse Camp? I love that he's in like three movies because that was happening right as some movies were being made.
Oh yeah, they're so, like, hey, you're famous for being an MTV VJ.
Come on and be in our movie, you drugged out scarecrow. Okay.
I won a contest to be a VJ. I was the dumbest one.
And now he's in a bunch of movies.
Yep, there you go. He's got IMDb credits just for that.
So a bunch of people have to dive out of this stupid island. They land in the water or whatever. And then Liu Kang and his pirate gang show up.
The Liu Kang crew show up. And they're ooh, look, loot. It's our lucky day. And then wouldn't you know, they turn over Tina and she's like, ooh, it's wrestle time.
Yeah. It's funny because they're like, ooh, loot. And what they're pointing to is a woman lying on an empty raft.
Yeah, ooh, loot.
I guess by loot, what they mean is pussy.
Ooh, loot.
Ooh.
10 people floating.
Yeah. Oh, finally. We got a bunch of hot women.
And, you know, some dudes.
The pirates are going to be into that, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely probably rapists.
Probably.
So anyway,
that's
the
thing pirates do,
yeah,
right?
So she beats up Liu Kang and his pirate gang. And then they take the boat and run away. And we cut to credits. And then we stop the credits because it's 1 week later.
And 1 week later,
the five main ladies
are on the steps of
someplace.
It's Kasumi's house. They're going to fight their way through Kasumi's huge army.
Except the guys that they are fighting don't look like the guards from the original part. It looks like the guards from the tournament.
Oh,
looks
okay.
Like the DOA guys. They're wearing those same like black and red outfits.
Well, given that Eric Roberts definitely died in the fire because he was paralyzed, you even see that happen. You see him sitting there paralyzed and not able to move as the fire gets him.
Yeah.
So these must be like from another DOA bad guy.
Oh, maybe they weren't on that part of the island right then, but then they lost their job because DOA blew up.
Could
so
be.
So then the clan hired them.
Yeah,
and
that
I mean,
must be it.
The ninja clan, not well, like
yeah,
the clan.
The Foot Clan hired them.
The Foot Clan hired them
yeah.
to go steal TVs. Now the Ninja Turtles.
And the worst part is, even though they were hired by the Foot Clan, they can't go into that fun hideout with the half pipe because Zach took that over and he says no.
He painted it green and he's just sticking his dick in it.
Changed his name to Half Pipe Man.
He's just Half Pipe now. He is a Ninja Turtle villain. He uses a skateboard.
People
and
keep
he's part, I don't know, deer?
Yeah, and people keep asking him if he's from that Weezer song, and he's like, no, that's Hash Pipe. Hash Pipe. I'm Half Pipe.
Half, like one half of a pipe?
Yes, like one hash of a pipe. I get it, Hash Pipe.
Yeah, one hash pipe.
So, anyway, there's 500 ninjas or whatever, and then the five women with swords have to fight them off.
And they get into a sword pose, and then we cut to credits.
And that's the end of that. That's as far as it goes. We get a few more CGI. Woof! DOA!
Woof!
Woof, says the CGI.
Woof, says me watching this movie.
Yeah, pretty much constantly. A whole bunch of women changing clothes behind walls and curtains and towels.
God, this was so bad. Like, even for a video game movie, this was pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
And again, it's because Mortal Kombat exists. Like, if Mortal Kombat didn't exist, I would go, oh, well, this was shit, but of course it was, because every video game movie is shit except for Super Mario Bros.
And then you get the director, Corey Yuen, which makes sense, and then you see the producer, Paul Anderson. Oh, don't worry, it's the WS one, not the Thomas one.
Paul Thomas Anderson was here.
That's why the bad guy was played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
We keep getting close-ups of Daniel Day-Lewis in a lab somewhere.
Bristling.
Just...
If you win this fight, I'll come to your house at night and cut your throat.
Yep, I drink your abilities. I drink them up.
Drainage by Nanobot.
A promotion.
Unfortunately,
can I get Daniel Day-Lewis
I
to
know.
Be Eggman
instead of Jim Carrey, because that's who it is right now.
Yeah.
I don't mind the concept of Jim Carrey as Eggman. That sounds fine to me. It's a full CGI movie. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
he'll do an okay voice. I mean, yes, Jim Carrey has ossified into a straight up weirdo.
Oh, yeah.
He is completely a weirdo, but I feel like his voice is probably going to be okay.
Oh, it's fine. I watched the documentary that they had about him filming Man on the Moon,
mm-hmm.
and man, he is just straight up like, well, I think I really actually literally channeled him when I was doing this, and I talked to his daughter, and I let her get closure by being... Fucking, and I'm like, no, don't do that.
No, stop.
What you did was go crazy.
What he basically did, I watched the first episode of that Seinfeld shit, comedians in cars getting coffee or whatever, which is hard to watch because it's just Seinfeld bragging about cars for the most part. It's just him going like, yeah, I'm driving a Ferrari Testarossa 850, blah, blah, blah. It's going to cost $1 billion. And then he picks up Jim Carrey, and Jim Carrey kicks off what that show should actually be called, which is Sad Waitresses Enduring Comedians.
Ha, ha, ha.
Because he's, like, making her hold a coffee cup while he stands way above it and drops, like juice he's brought with him into it and stuff. And he's just, it's just so annoying. And he's doing the thing where he sits in the chair all weird. Like, he spins it around and spins his cap around and starts to rap real with Seinfeld. You know? Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah, man. I think it's the beard. I think the beard has taken over his mind at this
point. Yeah, he's probably got beard filaments going up into his brain.
Them beard filaments.
You know, it's funny because there's a few performances of Jim Carrey that I absolutely love. Like, yeah,
the
I'm
Riddler.
Not... Yeah, he's a great Riddler. He was not a good Riddler.
He was an amazing Riddler.
You know what? If he was a great Riddler, then fine. But Tommy Lee Jones was not a good Two-Face.
No, he was an awful Two-Face. That was the problem with that movie, is you had Jim Carrey being a great weird Riddler, and then fucking Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face was awful.
Yeah, he's basically a worse Riddler in that movie.
He's like, oh, I have the same personality as you, and none of my Two-Face stuff comes into play.
The only way the Two-Face shit comes to matter is for costuming and decoration. Because when we go to my weird-ass house with fucking Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar hanging around in it,
Oh, that movie.
Oh, that movie is so bad. Anyway, someone should put that shit on the list.
It's on the list. Put it on the glass.
Okay. So, John, we got to do the favorites and least favorites. We've gone long.
We do indeed. All right, Jeff, why don't you tell me your favorite thing here in the DOA?
Oh, right. Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash's minor appearance is awesome. I love his totally accepting of his sudden discovery of his apparently gay daughter, and he's just like, yeah, whatever, you guys do what you want. Heck yeah, brother.
Brother.
I loved his role. I loved his happy old dude wrestler performance.
I mean, honestly, it's the same for me. I'm not even going to try and find something else. Kevin Nash was a bright, shining beacon in this otherwise garbage film.
Mm-hmm.
It was like watching this movie was just fucking tedious. Like, even looking at my phone and barely paying attention to this movie, it still hurt to be watching it. But when Kevin Nash was on screen, I was like, I'll put the phone down.
Yeah.
I'll watch this.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the weird thing is, you would think that a couple of red-blooded American dudes like us would want all this TNA flopping around on screen. But no, it just didn't. It was so annoying that
it's not even a well-done TNA.
No, it really isn't. Ugh. So yeah, that was a problem.
So, worst thing in the movie for you? Narrow it down.
The whole movie, John. No, it's fine. I got this. I'm going to say the worst thing in the movie is the fights, for the most part. There's a lot.
Is, again, the whole movie.
The entire film, sir. No, how about if I just go with Devin Aoki's facial performance?
Sure, that's fine.
Move that thing around.
No, you move it around a little.
Smile. Have a question. I shouldn't tell people to smile. I understand that. But in this case, the fact that it's
frown.
Just...
Frown. I don't know.
Anything.
Be quizzical.
Quit being a block of wood. Why are you starring in this?
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that as an answer.
Okay, what about you? Watch, now someone's going to send in a letter that she had a stroke or something. Like when we were mean to Sylvester Stallone. You can't make fun of Sylvester Stallone's voice. He had a stroke.
Well,
he's fucking famous as hell. Get over it.
He has so much money. He does not care about me.
He doesn't need to worry. But he makes fun of that voice thing all the time.
So for me, I would say worst thing in this movie, I want to go with the specific thing of I was talking about with like the glasses of either.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make your glasses give you powers or have the glasses be a super tech. But don't like I downloaded moves, but I get the moves as well as predictive nonsense. It's just very weird.
I also didn't much care for the fact that the four final fighters are just friends by
yeah.
the end. But within 5 minutes or so, they're just like, oh, we're friends for life. Let's sleep together naked.
No, I could also say that the worst thing in this is the fact that the competition is not a competition. It just seems like a friendly gathering of friends that are sparring.
Yes, and every once in a while, you have to go fight. And you
like, as much as it's called Dead or Alive, no one is ever doing lethal force in this, ever.
No, not even a little bit.
No.
So there you have it. Also, I'd say I also really didn't like the sword fight scene with Helena and Weatherby, the nerd, because it was so funny watching her have to swing at people like 3 feet from them and then fall down.
Oh, yeah. It just nothing happens. You're like, oh, I swung at you. It missed. You go flying. All right.
No, I don't. You missed me.
No, I have a force field.
I definitely hit you. I hit you and you're dead. I'm going to tell.
So we're going to give this a rating. We're each going to have it 0 to 5. Gives us the movie rating out of 10. Jeff.
1.5. The full value of that is split between Zach and Kevin Nash.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like I shouldn't go to 1.5. I feel like I should give it a 2, but I kind of want to give it 1.5 anyway. I'm going to give it a 2. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
It's 2 points, one each for Zach and Kevin Nash. So that gives a 3.5 out of 10 for DOA, Dead or Alive.
See it for Zach. See it for Neil Armstrong.
See it for Neil Armstrong.
Oh, shit. Buzz Aldrin off the top rope.
Buzz Aldrin with a huge elbow drop.
That's not legal in the sport of moon wrestling. He, like, jumps to do the moon drop, and he's still up
there.
He
just keeps floating. Ah, oh, God damn it.
Forgot about this.
Oh, my God.
He's drifted into orbit. Never before in the squared circle.
So, yeah, there you go. Thank you so much for listening to Movie Mastery. We love doing this. If you want to support us in our endeavors here, we do have a Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/System Mastery. We are SystemMasteryPodcast.com. If you want to check out all of our shows, we have so much content that we put out. And of course, if you are a patron, you can unlock even more bonus content. we have so much shit we do, like fucking at least 3 or 4 things a week.
It's true.
So you can go ahead and do that. And if you want to make suggestions, make sure something gets on the list for us to watch, you can go to r/System Mastery on Reddit.
Yep, there's the big movie list. You can post your movies there.
Yeah, and of course, we're on all the social medias. We're on a Twitter and Facebook. We're on Google, Gmail. We're on G+ for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's because we have a Gmail account. You're automatically on Google+. Heck, we're on Twitch, which means we're I have an Amazon Prime account, which means we're automatically on Twitch Prime.
Good.
So we're everywhere.
Yep, we're System Mastery on anything you could possibly want us to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back in 2 weeks with some more.
Hell, we're even System Mastery on your mom.
That's right. Your mom's got a tattoo of System Mastery on her. Just check. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with more of this. Go to the website. Check out our poll because we'll be doing in theaters now. You can vote for what's going to happen. Right now, it's the sequel to Mamma Mia is in the lead.
Yeah.
But there are some contenders this month.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like we're going to end up seeing that sequel to Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
My dad has told me is apparently heavily dog-focused.
Oh, well, I think that's going to be better for me then.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to be like, good, fuck it. Give me a dog movie with ABBA music. Sure, why not?
That sounds great.
There's no rule that says a dog can't be ABBA.
No, there is. It's against the law in Sweden.
Oh. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back. But until then, you have a good one.